A little bit about the Neiros Shabbos, how many Neiros Shabbos a person should have, and whether one should be adding on to Neiros or sticking to the two. The halacha is the bare minimum for lighting Neiros Shabbos is two. Two candles are all one needs to really light Mikra Din. It's based on Shamar V'Zachar, one candle representing Shamar, one representing Zachar. It could also be representing the husband and wife. But there's an inyan of lighting two candles. Is one allowed to be most of adding on to different candles? So this is an interesting question in general. It becomes a very global topic, because sometimes we find that we're very careful about the specific number of items for the mitzvah, and sometimes we don't care so much about the specific number. So for example, we know there's an issur d'orais of Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef would be a great example. You have a mitzvah to have four corner garments. To have a tzitzis on the fifth corner, that's actually an issur Baal Tosef. You know, you're allowed to have five corner garments, but you can only place tzitzis on four of the corners. That's not Baal Tosef, having five corners. But placing tzitzis on the fifth corner, that would be a violation of Baal Tosef. Or a tefillin. To have a fifth parchment of tefillin, that would be a problem of a Baal Tosef. So sometimes we're very makbid on the particular number, and it would be a violation of Baal Tosef. And other times, we don't care so much about the number. We allow there to be some leeway in the numbers that are being recommended. So when it comes to Neiros Shabbos, what exactly is the halacha? So before we get there, just, you know, we're right around the corner from Chanukah, so let's connect to Chanukah as well. We have a similar machlokas with regards to Neiros Chanukah. How many Neiros Chanukah should one have? So just using different models where we see that either you're allowed to add on or you're not allowed to add on. So we know the Gemara tells us famously, Masechah Shabbos, the sugyas of Chanukah, that Ner Ishibeso, there's Mahajan, how many candles are you supposed to light? So what's the highest level? What's Mahajim and Mahajim? So according to the Gemara, that you light one candle the first night, the second candle, two candles the second night, and going all the way up, Mosif V'Holich until day. So there's a big machlokas between the Tosfos and the Rambam. What do you do in a person who has many children in the house? How many candelabras should you be lighting? How many Chanukiyas, how many menorahs should you be lighting? So the Rambam says that you should light however many kids that are there. If you have 15 kids, they have 15 menorahs lighting one day. And that's how the Ashkenazim Paskin. This is one of the Taz points out, this is one of the strange places where Ashkenazim Paskin like the Rambam, the Svardi, but the Svardim Paskin like the Shita of Tosfos. So what's Shita's Tosfos? Tosfos, you can't have 15 different menorahs being lit, because he says they're not able to tell what night it is. He says, Aval im osa ner l'chol echad, every single person, you're going to have their own candelabra. Afil Yosef mikan ve'elach, you're not recognizing what night it is, and they're going to think that's as many people they have in the family. I mean, let's say you allow you to light every single person in the family lights. So a guy's walking by, he sees six candles lit. So you might think, oh, maybe it's the first night of Hanukkah, and there's six kids in the family. Or maybe it really means it's the sixth night, and only one person's lighting. So Tosa says that only one person should be lighting for the entire family. That would be the Baal Bas, I imagine, the father, or the Zeta, who's ever there. One candelabra for the entire family. Because you see, Tosus is concerned that you can't be mosif on these numbers of candles because it can confuse people. While the Rambam, Ashkenazim Paskin, we are not so concerned. So this is just a very nice model of where sometimes we have a machlokas, whether you can add on to the mitzvah or one should dafka not add on. So how does it come up to in Maseches Pesachim? So Gemara is talking about the halachas of Havdalah. How many Havdalahs a person should say, Mavdim in Korshach Holbin or the Choshech, Yiseli Amim, the Yinim Ashidah Sheshim Me'amaseh. So how many should one say? And the Gemara says either three or seven or somewhere in between. No less than three, no more than seven. So Tosa says, why can't you have more than seven? So he says, because it's very similar to the halachas of tying tzitzis. When it comes to tying tzitzis, we have to wrap around however many times around each string. And the halacha is it should be no less than seven and no more than 13, based on the Gemara Menachos. So Tosa says, the Havdalah is no different. That sometimes we have sugyas and halachos that it has to be exact. We're given a minimum amount and a maximum. And Havdalah is an example, as is the wrappings of the tzitzis, it can't be above that number. So this is an example where there's a limitation, where you can't add on to the Havdalahs, you can't add on to the wrappings of tzitzis. So sometimes we have a limitation. Sometimes we're allowed to add on. So what are examples where you are allowed to add on? So which examples you saw in the Seder that you're allowed to add on to different mitzvos? What? Aliyahs on Shabbos. Right, so the Mishnah tells us a Maseches Megillah. It goes through. There's a very important Mishnah of how many aliyahs a person should have, should the tzibur have, depending on the day. So we know a regular weekday, Yimei Chol, there are only three aliyahs. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, there are four aliyahs. When it comes to Yontif, there are five aliyahs. When it comes to Yom Kippur, there are six aliyahs. And when it comes to Shabbos, there are seven aliyahs. And the halacha is you're not allowed to add on to the aliyahs other than on Shabbos. So I understand why I can't add on on a three-day, a weekday, because if I add on an aliyah to make it four aliyahs, that looks like a Chol HaMoed. We don't want to change that. I understand why you can't add on to a Chol HaMoed, adding a fifth aliyah, because that looks like Yontif. There are different reasons. But comes to Shabbos, the halacha and the Mishnah is, even though you can't have less than seven, you are allowed to be most. If you're allowed to add on, you can have as many mikra din, you're allowed to have as many hosafas as you want. In this shul, I've never seen a hosafa. Anyone ever? Nope. Seen? Never, right? They're very mockbid and no hosafas here. I'm sure there must be an exception in history. I'm sure someone could. You remember one? Yeah? You've seen there, yeah? So, Hashem Amin has, yeah? So, I guess. So, I don't recall there ever being one when I've been here the past few years. I could have misremembering, but we try very hard not to have any hosafas here. Sometimes you have no choice. There are different simchas, different yoritais people have, but we try not to add on. But mi'ikar din, you're allowed to add on. So they ask the question, I don't understand. If the number seven is based on the Gemara brings reasons why it has to be dafka number seven, so how come Shabbos you can add on to the number, but when it comes to Havdalah and when it comes to the tzitzis tying, you can't add it. It's limited to a certain amount. What's the difference? The Rush brings another example. The Rush says when it comes to saying Malchiel, Zichronos, and Shofros on Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is that you're supposed to say 10 psukim of each type. We all know from the Musaf and Rosh Hashanah that psukim that describe Malchios, psukim that describe Shofros, psukim that describe Zichronos. But he says in the Rosh, if one wants to add on to have a final 11th pasuk and a 12th pasuk on these things, Rishus b'yado, you're allowed to. Won't be a hefsek. Isn't it a hefsek that if I'm davening the Nusach, the Anshei Knesset Gedola made, and I say, no, I know Tanakh Baal Peh, and I thought of some pasuk that relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Malchus, or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shofros. So I could just add him psukim in the middle of Musaf. Isn't that going to be a hefsek in my bracha? He says, no, because it's still part of the same inyan, it's still part of the same bracha, it's the same concept of Malchios, it's not a stira. It's one thing if I were to talk in the middle of my Musaf, but to say something that's related to the tefillah, that's completely permitted. On top of that, not all the time, but many people add in their own personal tefillos in Shemoneh Esrei. And it's not considered a hefsek. As long as it's bechlal the bracha that you're saying, you're allowed to add in your own personal bakashos. Now, there's a machlokas in a regular Shemoneh Esrei where a person should add them in. Sometimes there's one sheet in the poskim. If you're asking for a parnasa, let's say, a person should ask in baruch aleinu. And if you're asking for refuah, one should ask in the bracha refuah. If you're asking for tshuva, it should be hashivenu. But each bracha has its own own theme. Others say it's best to ask in Shema Kolenu. Others say ask it after Lihiratzon at the end of davening. And they're all correct. It's brought down in the poskim. You can all do them. But one thing is true. It's not considered a hefsek, no matter where you put it, because it's bichlal the bracha. So here as well, it's not a problem of making a hefsek. But he says, again, the Rosh says, you are allowed to add on to psukim, just like you're allowed to add on to aliyahs on a Shabbos. So again, how come when it comes to Leos and when it comes to the Psukim of Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to be Mosif, but Avdallah and Tzitzis, you're not allowed to be Mosif? And one final example is that of Shabbos. When it comes to Neir Shabbos, that's Neir Shabbos. We'll talk about that and we'll come back to explain just in a second. Shulchan Aruch writes, when it comes to lighting Neir Shabbos, he writes what we said before, that one has to light two candles, one for Shamar, one for Zachar. This reminds me of the famous story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Shabbos when he was in the cave. And he ran out of the cave when they left, after a number of years of learning, they left the cave and they were busy looking around, people working, making parnasa on the farm. And they got so upset, they started burning everything. And wherever Balazar looked, he burned. Rabbi Shimon had to fix it up and they burned it. And he says, no, go back, you're not wanted here. Hashem says, go back to the cave for another year. They went for another year, they came back a second time. And they're busy looking around with a different set of eyes. They see an old man running. It's Erev Shabbos. They say, where are you running to? He says, it's Kavod Shabbos. I need to run home, get ready for Shabbos. So why do you have a Hadassim? You're holding Hadassim. He says, Kavod Shabbos, Hadassim. To smell Hadassim is a beautiful thing. So he says, why do you have two of them? One is sufficient. He says, one for Shamar and one for Zachar. He says, so now we see the world. What a beautiful world that there's so mechaviv the mitzvahs that even creating a Shamar v'Zachar, two Hadassim. So that's the same idea. The Neir Shabbos is supposed to one for Shabbos, for Shamar, one for Zachar. That's the Mikra Din to light two candles, Shamar v'Zachar. But the Rama adds, I don't know what goes on in the Sephardi home, but I imagine you light many candles, no? You don't light just two candles. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, just lighting two candles. Rama adds, V'yecholin lehosif lahala gimel dal neros v'cheinagu. If one wants to add on to candles, you're completely allowed to. So this is another example where you could add on to the number that Halacha tells you. Again, Tzitzis, you can't have more than 13 strings around. When it comes to Havdalah, you can't have more than 7. But Aliyahs and Shabbos, you can add. The Psukim on Rosh Hashanah, you can add. And Ner Shabbos, you're allowed to add on to as well. Why is that permitted? Now, it's important to know that there is a sheet of the Maimer Mordechai. The Maimer Mordechai is a very important posik. That they quote often by the Be'er Halacha, the Maimon Mordechai thinks otherwise. He argues that Neir Shabbos, he thinks, is better actually not to be Mosif. He thinks it's better to have two candles. And those who want to have more than two candles, he says the practice is as follows. To have two candlesticks representing Shamar V'Zachar, and those who want to have extra ones have a separate candelabra of the, as many kids, as many he wants to light. That's allowed. But there should be two separate ones indicating Shomer V'Zachar, and then having a small one or a bigger one on the side, which is going to cover all the other additional candles that you want to have lit. But he makes it clear that it should be a separate, there should be a distinction between the two and the other ones as well. Now, just as a side point, just to throw out because it came to mind right now, why not? There's a concept of Hiddur Mitzvah. How would you classify this halach of adding on more candles? Would that be considered a hiddur mitzvah? So, Pashup Shad, if you were to ask me, I would think it would be hiddur mitzvah. So, if that's the case, what question do I have about hiddur mitzvah? So, there's halach when it comes to Hilchos Mila. Hilchos Mila, there's such a thing as hiddur mitzvah when it comes to Bris Mila. What's a hiddur mitzvah? So, the Gemara talks about titzin ma'akrin, titzin she'ein ma'akrin. There are different types of part of the arla that, if it's not removed, it's ma'akev the mila. If too much is left behind, it's ma'akev, you have to fix it. But sometimes there's I don't know the matiz, but sometimes there's tzitzin, some pieces of the arla that's remaining, that's so small, that's ain't a ma'akev, it's not ma'akev, and you fulfill the mitzvah. But there's an inyan of hiddur mitzvah to go back and clean it anyways, remove those pieces. So the Gemara says, let's say on Shabbos, there's a mole doing a bris mila. And there's tzitzin ma'akvin, if there's part of the arla that's left, that's ma'akev the mitzvah, he needs to go back and fix it. He hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah yet. But let's say he completed the mitzvah, he separated, he's Purish, and then he saw, oh, there's some tzitzin she'ein makvin, there's some arla that's not makvin the mitzvah, it's just lacking hiddur mitzvah, you can't go back. Because going back would be a violation of a chovel, it's called drawing blood when there's no mitzvah anymore. You can't go back. So asks the Brisker Rav, based on the Rambam, I don't understand. So if you can't remove the tzitzin she'ein makvin, because it's not makvin, it's only hiddur mitzvah, how come when the mole is l'chachila doing the Mila, when he's removing the Arla, once he removes most of it, he should stop. He shouldn't do the additional cuttings anymore, because that's considered extra cutting. You don't need to remove the Tzitzin Shein Makvin. So says the Brisker Rav that no, when you're doing one Maisa Mitzvah, the Hiddur Mitzvah, if it's connected to it, is a continuation of the Maisa Mitzvah. So when you're doing the Maisa removing the Arla, you can continue going to remove even the Tzitzin Shein Makvin. It's all one action. The Hiddur Mitzvah becomes a chelek. It's a part and parcel of the actual mitzvah of Mila. But once you've separated and you stop the mitzvah of Mila, you can't go back anymore. The Hiddur Mitzvah is not called Hiddur. Hiddur Mitzvah is only when it's part of the actual Maisa being done. So here too as well, I'm just wondering that separating the two candelabras, the Shamar V'Zachar, and having a separate candelabra for the additional ones, that again, I'm not really sure if it's true halachically, there's no real concern here, but you're separating the Hiddur Mitzvah, if you will, from the actual Iker Mitzvah. That would come out from this Maimer Mordechai, because he wanted to stress the point that the Iker is really the two candlesticks, the Shamar V'Zachar. He does point out also, parenthetically, a very important halacha, which comes up, it came up in my family as well, that when you're having a candelabra, you should never have one, it's very appropriate for Hanukkah as well, you should never have one that's 7 candlesticks in one of these candelabras. Why not? Because is it basically Mikdash had a menorah, that's 7 candlesticks, and you're not allowed to replicate the menorah or any kalim that were in the base of Mikdash. Now, replicate doesn't mean it has to come from gold. The Gemara tells the Menachos that menorah does not have to be made from gold. It can be made from silver, it can be made from bronze, it can be made from anything. And therefore, any type of replica of the menorah with 7 candlesticks can be problematic. It doesn't have to look like the actual menorah, but if there's 7 candlesticks, it's a problem. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, you should not have a seven-branched menorah. So some say there's a heter, because oftentimes the middle one's higher than the other ones. So some say there's such a heter, but one should always ask a shaila before doing so. So he mentions you should only have either a 6 or 8, but not to have a 7-branched candelabra. What comes out from our purposes, though, is that we see that there's a machlokas. What's the best practice when it comes to Neir Shabbos? Is it best to have as many as you need, as many kids in the family, or should you really stick to just the two? So let's understand just for a moment, what is the machlokas? How come when it comes to tzitzis and havdalah, you can't add on? You can't add more havdalos. You can't add on more wrappings of tzitzis. But by Leos and by Psukim on Rosh Hashanah, and possibly by Neir Shabbos, you are allowed to add on to the number. What's the difference? So I assume you saw the Chassam Sofer and the Rav Yashav, they say the same similar idea. They say because when it comes to Neir Shabbos, the whole idea is to create more Shalom Bayis, to create more Kavod Shabbos. So the more candles that are there, that actually enhances the mitzvah. That makes it even better. There's nothing that's, it's not losing anything by adding on Neir Shabbos. That's enhancing the mitzvah. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, Aliyos, you're being mezakeh more people to have a bracha for an aliyah. Even though you're reading the same exact parsha, no additional psukim, but you have more people involved. It's a nice thing to be mezakeh the rabbim in such a way. And when it comes to the psukim on Rosh Hashanah, by you saying more psukim and being mishabach Hashem, that's adding greater praise to Hashem. That's all wonderful things to be mosif. It's enhancing the mitzvah. But when it comes to tzitzis, we don't understand how tzitzis works even. The wrappings around connect to 7 rikios, and the 6 spaces in between the 7 rikios, we don't understand what that really means. And the fact that havdalahs, we're not really sure what the amount of havdalahs mean, 3 versus 7, we don't really understand what those mean to be able to be mosif on them. So in essence, what he says is, if whenever there's a situation where adding on doesn't add anything in the quality of the mitzvah, then you shouldn't add on. Adding on tzitzis strings, adding on havdalahs doesn't add anything on further. But the other mitzvahs, as we explained, adding more psukim, adding more aliyahs, is a certain kavod for Shabbos, a kavod for Hashem, a kavod for the people. Since that concept makes sense, we do allow for adding on. Yeah, Binyamin.
Isn't there a simpler explanation that by the tzitzis and by havdalah, Chazal are giving a range? You're giving a low number and a high number, so that implies a range, which implies that, you know, it's only within the range. But when Chazal set the light, you know, 7 aliyahs, or have, you know, or have candles,
yeah,
whatever, then they're just giving one number, which,
correct,
could be more applicable for that.
So I think it's a great point.
Minimum.
So I think that, yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think a great point. But I think the understanding is that's the halacha, that tells us why we paskin that way, that you can't go above that range, but it doesn't explain why that's the case. That's a proof that we have a range by tzitzis, we have a range by havdalahs, don't go below, don't go above, but why did they institute in such a way? And this is the explanation as to why they create a range as opposed to the other one. So that's, I think, a raya for the point. So now let's talk about Rav Osner's shaila for a second. Rav Osner says, we had a machlokas in the postgame whether it's better to add on candles for Shabbos or best to only have 2. If you want to have extra ones, have a separate candelabra for the extra ones. So what happens? Husband and wife get married, they have 2 different menhagim. Husband's minhag is to only have 2 candles. That was his minhag from his father, from his 80. And the wife had a minhag from her mother and her grandmother to light as many as the kids in the family. So now there's a machlokas, what to do. And it's going to also impact their finances because it could add up, extra candles, extra oil each week, not significantly, but over time it adds up. They may not be comfortable enough to afford all this. So it's a question of minhagim, who do we follow? Like, is the man right? This is his house. The halach is by everything else, we always follow the minhagim of the father. It comes to Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Svard. So if he's a Svardi, so now she's allowed to eat kitnios on Pesach. And if she's Ashkenaz, so and she's Svardi, then she no longer can eat kitnios. You always follow the halachas of the husband.
This is the woman's mitzvah.
That's the point. So, or on the other hand, right? Or the other hand, we say that there are 3 mitzvahs that are unique to a woman. Her 3 main mitzvahs are halachas Neir Shabbos, Hafrashas Chala, and Nida. These are the 3 mitzvahs that relate to her. So maybe this is her mitzvah, and this should be the one exception where she has the rights to decide the minhag. So that was an interesting question that Rav Osner was posed. So he ends up saying that even though the mitzvah is really for the woman to do the lighting, it's still the husband's mitzvah. It's his mitzvah that's being handed off to the women. And therefore he says, Me'ikra din, she has no right to make the husband pay out of pocket more money for the oil, more money for the candle, if this was his minhag. She has no obligation. She can't force him to do so. if she wants to pay out of her own pocket, she makes her own job, her own parnasa, she has her own paycheck in her separate account, so she could use her own money to pay for those additional candles, those additional oil, those additional wicks if she wants. But she can't force her husband to pay for that money. And this gets to an interesting topic also in regards to who has control over the mammon, who has rights over the money. She, you know, he has a job, and if she doesn't work, and he has the job, so seemingly she has no rights over the mammon. He has full control of finances. If she has a job, so she was kona on herself, she does have the right for her own money. So there's an interesting halacha when it comes to hilchas tzedakah. Let's say a person comes, a mashulach comes to the house and asks for money, and the wife answers the door. Does she have the right to write a check? Is she allowed to write the check? According to Shulchan Aruch, she has no right to write a check for him because
even
if she has her own money, then she's allowed to. If she has her own money, her own account, she's allowed to. But if they've merged together, or if she doesn't have any money on her own, it's her husband's money, she has no right to write a check. That's what the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. She can't write a check. But the Pesachei Tshuva points out there on the spot that if the woman is involved in the finances, she's busy doing the credit card payments and the bill payments and the accounting, then she would be allowed to. So I would imagine Bizman Azeh, where most cases the women are given perhaps begrudgingly the rights to using the credit card and the checkbook, they have full rights to the finances and the bank account, in which case Bizman Azeh, she would be allowed to give a check or give money to a mashulach who's asking for it for tzedakah. Yeah?
The candles, I thought the ikar is shalom bayis, so why wouldn't you even mention that?
Very good. So at the end, he says, in his conclusion, excellent. He says, in the end of the day, there's one thing about what's the chiv, or the obligation, mitzad hadin, and then there's the, let's call it hashkafa aspect of things. So at the end of the tshuva, Rav Ozan writes exactly what you're saying. He says that even though she cannot force her husband to pay for more candles and more oil, he says, since Ner Shabbos is called Shalom Bayis, like you just said, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, and this fighting of minhagim is about shalom bayis, he thinks it's quite appropriate that he should let her have her minhag and light her candles with his own money if he could afford it. And that's a very good. That's how he concludes that he should let her.
And I once read in Rabbi Shalom Rush's book that it tells you to eat one way, to spend another way, but to spend on your wife more than.
Yeah, it's a Gemara. And Gemara talks about this. Yeah, let's go now to one last halacha. We'll finish off with this idea related to Neres Shabbos, which connects to how many candles a person should light. So, in the end, there we conclude, I think most homes light as many candles as kids are in the family. That's pretty much the prevalent minhag. But the Ramah adds one point here, that in a situation, a woman were to forget to light candles, she has to light an additional candle the rest of her life. Let's say one Shabbos she forgot it was Shabbos, so she missed the time. Excuse me, the law is she has to add an additional candle for that missed Shabbos.
Does that include like two? She misses another one, add another one?
Yes, each time she misses, she has to light an additional candle every single Shabbos thereafter. So what's the lashon of the Ramah? The Ramah writes that Ha'isha sheshacha pamachas lahalik, if there's one time that she forgot to light candles, marlekes kol yomeha shloshener, she has to light three candles her whole life. That's talking about where she would normally light two candles. If she normally lights seven candles, so then her whole life she needs to light eight candles. That's the din in the Shulchan Aruch.
She's 50 years old.
What?
She became a balas.
Oh, so then she's onus.
50 years old.
The Mishnah Berurah points out if it's a situation where it's an onus, so that case where she was a tinokes shenishba, she had no choice, she didn't know any better, then she's not held responsible. A person, let's say, lo leinu, is in jail or in the hospital and wasn't able to, she was sick, she just had a baby, so we would not give her a knas, a penalty for that situation. It's only where she was just negligent about lighting the candles is a situation where we give that knas of making her light additional candles. So there are many halachas like this. I had this past year. I think Sukkot it was, I got a call that someone forgot to light Neres Yontif. Whether Neres Yontif would also be bichlal, the knas, the penalty, and we paskin that Neres Yontif would be different as machlokas, of course, but we paskin that the person would not get a penalty for missing Neres Yontif. There is an interesting discussion in the post we bring down here in the Dirshu, that let's say a woman is at her parents' house for Shabbos. Her family is visiting her parents, the grandparents' house for Shabbos, and the daughter forgot to light candles, but her mother, the grandmother, lit. Is she going to penalize in that situation where she personally didn't lit, but there were candles lit in the house where she was staying? So Moshe is machmer that thinks that she would have to continue to light because she missed her personal obligation, while Rav Vosner paskin that no, even though she forgot, since in the end of the day, the house had its necessary lighting, she would not be penalized in that particular situation. Now let's say a man forgot to light. A man is single, let's say, or he's away for Shabbos without his wife, and he forgot to light candles, which is a very likely scenario, which is not used to lighting. So would he have to light additional candles if he were to miss a Shabbos? So they quote from Rav Vosner here as well, that he would not have to light for missing, because the knas was only made for women, it was not made for men.
So if you were home for Shabbos, your wife's away, do you have to light
candles? Yes, you do. Yep. Okay, so there are many more halachas regarding this topic, but I guess we'll stop here. And next week, what time is davening next week? We'll have time to learn all next week, right? Oh, yeah, Lev, you have a question? Sorry.